Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you that you are our Father and we are your children, and that this relationship was accomplished because your Son, our Lord Jesus, died for us on the cross. Lord, we thank you for what he did for us, and we thank you for your love towards us, and we thank you for the privilege of coming to your presence and learn from you. So may you use this time this morning to accomplish something that is eternal in our hearts. We pray in your precious name. Amen. Have you ever wondered or think about why some believers have greater capacity to love God and to serve God? They seem to be able to even lay down their life if they are called upon to do that. While some other believers, or we can say the majority of it, are quite content, just maybe come to church once in a while, maybe look at the scripture once in a while, maybe pray once in a while, but they never reach that same capacity of the other believers who are almost like in the front line of faith. They are always fighting. They are always struggling. They are always striving for a deeper and more meaningful relationship with the Lord. What is the difference? Now, of course, we can say there are so many different circumstances or situation for everyone. So everyone is different. But I found that the major difference is how much they believe in the gospel that they have heard. They heard the gospel, and how they respond to that gospel determine how they live their life. It determines how much capacity they have to serve God and to love God. So in another word, if the gospel message is true to me, if the gospel message is true, then it must be worthwhile for me to really become a true messenger of it, in the sense that not just carrying the message, but to live out the message. I can be certain that Paul and his companions are in that category of people. Someone who not just believe in what they have heard, they actually experience the reality of it, and they live out the reality of it, and they want to take that message to people who have yet to hear it, and making sure that the people who have heard it will also understand it the same way they understood. They are willing to risk their life for it. This morning we'll continue with 1 Thessalonians. I've spoken two messages on this. It is one of the earliest letters that Paul wrote to the churches that he established since he started his missionary journeys. 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians are very personal letters that Paul wrote to the believers in Thessalonica. It is a church composed mainly of new believers. The believers were converted from Judaism or paganism, and both Jews and Gentiles are represented in that church. Last time in chapter 1, we have read about Paul's joy over the Thessalonians and his confidence in their salvation, confidence in their election by God, because he saw the evidence of the work of faith in their life, and not just in word, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit. And Paul also saw there are a lot of assurance in their hearts concerning what he had heard. So Paul was really happy for them. He was really overjoyed that the Thessalonians are walking with the Lord, because to Paul, these Thessalonians, these new believers in Thessalonica are like children to him. And if they are walking with the Lord, there's nothing better than that to Paul. Similarly to Apostle John. Remember John in 3 John 3 and 4, he said, "For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified about the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." So John wrote, the old Apostle John wrote to the church. To him, they are his children. And to hear that they are walking with the Lord, John said, there's no greater joy. There's nothing better than that. That is the best news. To hear that my children are walking with the Lord. From the background that we have gone through, we knew that Paul went west into Macedonia because the Holy Spirit forbidden him to preach or to go to Asia or to Bithynia. So he went west into Europe. And before that also, he has a vision of a Macedonian man appearing to him, crying out to him, saying, "Come over and help us." So Paul was very sure that was clearly it is God's will for him and his companions to go to Macedonia. And many of us think that if it is God's will, if we are sure that it's God's will for us to go somewhere or do something, then the work should be quite smooth going, because it is from God. So it has to be smooth going, it has to be no hindrances, it has to be problem-free. But what they have experienced is nothing like that. They started in the first city of Macedonia, which is Philippi. Apart from preaching the gospel, we know the story of Paul freeing a slave girl from the demon possessions. But because of that incident, the slave girl's masters were not very happy, because in fact they were very angry because they lost a source of income through that slave girl. And they bundled up Paul and Silas and took them to the authorities. The authorities beat them up and then put them into prison. But we knew that through an earthquake, all the prison doors were open and the jailer was so afraid that he was almost about to kill himself. But Paul stopped him. And trembling with fear, the jailer said to Paul, "What must I do to be safe?" And Paul said to him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, you and your whole family shall be safe." And that night, the jailer and his family were safe and were baptized. From there, Paul went into the city of Thessalonica, and he preached for 3 Sabbath days in a row. And he preached the gospel boldly to them, and many of the people who heard him believe, including some of the Gentile believers. But the unbelieving Jews were not very happy to see that, and they stir up troubles with the mob, and again looking to to try to put Paul and Silas into chain again, but they could not find them. So all they did is be able to find someone that Paul was staying with, who is a brother called Jason, and they was able to took some security or bond from Jason, and then they had to let go of Jason. But there was quite a dangerous situation, so the believers felt that it's better for Paul to leave Thessalonica and go to Berea. And from there, more troubles happened, and Paul and Silas and his companions continue on his journey to Athens and then later on to Corinth. And it was from Corinth that Paul wrote this letter. You may ask again, why there are so many troubles and problems for Paul and his companions if they are so sure that it is God's will for them to go to Macedonia? You see, God's will does not promise smooth-going, problem-free journeys for Paul and Silas. God's will also involves trials and struggles, not promising any only ease and comfort. So Paul and Silas not only suffer from the difficult journeys, but they're also facing persecutions and hate from those people who do not believe in the message that they are bringing. So these troubles will continue, not only for Paul and his companions, but also for the new believers that will believe in their message in Thessalonica, in Philippi, in Berea, and elsewhere. This is something that these new believers also need to learn to cope. It was in that adverse situations or circumstances that their faith will continue to grow. So Paul and his companions understood that the Thessalonians who just embraced the faith are also in a difficult situation because the people around them are still hostile to their faith. The same people who caused a riot to want to imprison or capture Paul and Silas, they are still there in that city. And they will continue to oppose the believers who have come to faith. So these people who are opposing Paul, they also spread rumors about Paul and his companions. They want to put down Paul's reputation so that they can destroy the work that Paul tried to establish. So after Paul sent Timothy to check on the Thessalonians, and when Timothy came back with a good report, but also gave him some warnings about what he heard among the Thessalonians, Paul decided to write this letter to them to encourage them, but at the same time to defend his ministry among the Thessalonians. So Paul heard that there are people who are questioning his ministry among the Thessalonians. They were asking questions like, was Paul even qualified to preach to them? Who has approved Paul's ministry? They're questioning things like, what was Paul trying to do? Was he trying to make some money from the listeners in Thessalonica, especially from the Gentile believers who are richer in possessions? And then they ask the question, why did Paul suddenly leave Thessalonica when the people who had just found the new faith are needing their help? So they ask questions like this. We have to understand that whenever God is working, the enemy of God is also working. So who is this enemy of God? We know his name is called Satan. He's always opposing God's work. And when he saw Paul's ministry is expanding throughout the area that he visited in Europe, he was trying to stop his ministry by attacking Paul's person. Because Satan knew that if he can stain the character of God's servants, then he can also damage their ministry. Sadly, how many times have we seen that in church history? We saw so many Christians with strong ministries, and yet because of moral failures, the ministry has been negatively impacted and was not able to accomplish furthermore for God. And Paul knew that Satan is always at work to try to destroy his character, destroy his reputations, and therefore destroy his ministry. So Paul in Thessalonians' letter was trying to also not just encouraging the believers, but he also tried to defend himself against all these questionings, all these doubts that has been sowed by Satan in the minds of the believers. So today we're going to go to chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 12. So in these 12 verses, Paul reminded the Thessalonians of his conduct and ministry among them. He wanted to clear out any misconception that they may have about him and his ministry. Paul not just only worried about his reputation. He is concerned about the work of God among the Thessalonians. So we're going to look at this passage. We're going to see how Paul and his companions defended the gospel message and their conducts while they were with them. So through Paul's defense, we can identify what are the qualities of the true messengers of the gospel. Who are the messengers of the gospel? They're people who have embraced the gospel, the people who carry the gospel, the people who live out the gospel. This is what I meant being the messengers of the gospel. We're going to read through the whole passage first, from verse 1 to verse 12, and then we're going to come back and go through the verses in more details. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 12. For you yourself know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, neither from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behave ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God, who call you into his own kingdom and glory. It's a beautiful letter, isn't it? And if you just scan the words through this passage, you will discover that Paul are using words like, for you yourself know, as you know, for you remember, or you are witnesses. So Paul is not telling them something new. Paul is reminding them. So he's asking them to recall in their memories what they have witnessed Paul and his companions did firsthand. So they are not having a second-hand information about what Paul and his companions did, but they themselves knew, they themselves witnessed, they themselves can say that, I know that. So Paul is reminding them. Verse 1 and 2, we'll go back to that now. For you yourself know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after he had suffered before and was spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our guard to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. Paul was confident that it is God's will for him to go to Thessalonica. It is God's will for him to go to Macedonia. So if it is God's will, even though he faced so much difficulties, you know, he got beaten up badly in Philippi and then got thrown into prison. But he knew that it will not be in vain. That is the confidence he can have in the Word of God. You know, there are so many missionaries who have gone, who left their comfort at home and home country and go to different places, sometimes far away places, to preach the gospel. Some of these missionaries, they will labor late day and night for many years and not seeing any fruits. But if they knew that it is God's will, then they also will know that then whatever work they put in will not be in vain. They will eventually see fruit. Many of us here will have remembered Michelle share the story of Adoniram and Ann Judson, the missionaries that God has sent to Burma. We knew that before they went on this journey, they knew that how dangerous or difficult the situation can be in Burma. But they knew that it was God's calling for them to go to that country, a heathen country who had no gospel preached to them. So they went. And on the journey, they took the last part of the journey was from India to Burma by ship. Just before the journey started, Anne was already heavily pregnant with a baby. They also have a servant that was supposed to be a nurse to nurse after the baby or help Anne when she is in labor. But during the journey, both the nurse and the baby were gone. The nurse died through a sickness and the baby was taken away because it was a stillborn child. So that is a very difficult start to their journey to Burma. And when they in Burma, they work very hard to try to understand the local culture and the local language, because one of the purpose of going there also is to translate the Bible into Burmese so that the general population in Burma can understand the message of the gospel. Do you know that they have worked day and night for 6 years and not seeing any fruit, not seeing anyone come to Christ, not seeing any gospel friends became believers? it was only on the 6 years they have saw the first Burmese person became a believer. And even many years after that, they only see another handful of people to come to Christ through their preaching. So, if you think that they could be frustrated, they could be disappointed, you have reason to believe that they do experience disappointments and frustrations. But they knew that it will not be in vain, because God called them to go there. So they will continue faithfully in the gospel work. Eventually, after 21 years, they managed to finish translating the Burmese Bible. That same Bible is still being used today in Burma. And of course, there are many more unbelievers who became Christian through their years in Burma. They served the Lord faithfully until they passed away in Burma. Their work, though difficult, it was not in vain. So Paul has the same confidence that he's coming into Thessalonica despite the problems, despite the persecutions, it will not be in vain. Because he saw people believe in the gospel that he preached. Paul also witnessed that their life was transformed by the message that they have heard. So despite the difficulty, Paul continued in boldness in preaching the message of the gospel continuously. Until in the end, the situation became too dangerous, he has to leave the city. Why is Paul so bold? Not only he understood that it was God's will, but because he himself has experienced the message of the gospel personally. And therefore, he is willing to be the messenger of it, even though at the risk of losing his own life. We'll continue, verse 3 to verse 6. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit, but as if we had been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. So Paul here telling the Thessalonians or reminding them that the motive of the true messengers of God must be pure. So Paul is telling them, what we say to you, the words that we preach to you, they are not from error. They are not with uncleanness. They are not in deceit. It is pure word of God that we deliver to you. We did not say it with flattering words. Flattering words, not just saying things to make them feel happy, but it's not saying things that make them happy. Flattering words can mean that, you know, you may say something nice about some people, make them feel good about themselves. But here in this context, it's saying something that they want to hear so that they can be happy. It's a bit different there. So Paul says that he dare not do that because it was God who entrusted the gospel message to him. So he knew that whatever he say, God will test his heart. And he knew also that if God is testing his heart, there's nothing he could hide from God. Whatever he say, he must be responsible to what he said. God has tested him. and God has found him worthy to be a messenger of the gospel. And Paul also tells the Thessalonians that he preached to please God. He did not preach to please any man. He did not. His motive is sincere. His motive is free from any thoughts for personal gain. So Paul is preaching a pure message of the gospel without any flattering words, without any deceit, without any thoughts about getting any money or profit or favor from the people that is receiving his message. Because in the last days, even in Paul's time, Paul has warned people that people will become sort of have an itchy ear to hear new things. Things that they please them, please their own desires. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, he says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrines, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, and they will heap up for themselves teachers, and that they will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables." In fact, even today, we have many such preachers and false prophets in the world today, preaching fake gospel. Some preaching prosperity gospel to people who are seeking to get richer, wealthier, wiser, or happier even. This prosperity gospel promise them all this if they are willing to give their monies to church or to the ministry or the preachers. And if you follow the money trails, eventually this money will go to the preacher themselves. They say the more you give, the more blessing you will receive. They don't preach the cross of Christ. They don't preach to encourage people to live a life worthy of God. They just preach words like, "What you want, you will get if you offer your money to God or to the church." These people preach things that will condemn them and the listeners who actually accepted their preachings. In Paul's time, there are many philosophers or orators who are actually collecting money from the people that are listening to their words. So, Paul and his companions did not use that privilege. He did not use their position as apostle of God to collect any monies from the believers that they preached the gospel to. They did not seek any glory from them or any praise from them, because all glory and praise should be only to God. And so Paul tells them that what we say to you are the pure word of the Lord. No deceit, no flattering words, not seeking glory from you, but all glory be to God. We continue in verse 7. "But we were all gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children." So in this verse, Paul showed the Thessalonians another picture of the true messenger of God, that of a gentle nursing mother cherishes her own children. Now, in terms of gentleness and love, no one can compete with the nursing mother caring for her own children. I know that some mothers actually suffer postnatal depression, then they could not take care of their own children. Yes, there are cases like that. But majority of the mothers were able to care and nurse their own children. And when you see how they take care of the babies, you realize there is a bond, there is a love that none of us outsiders can actually understand. Recently, I read the story of a Chinese man. He was taking care of his elderly mother. The mother also was very sick and is basically near death. So the man wanted to spend as much time with his mother, and he basically took the mother home from the hospital and took care of her. And at night, before she sleeps, he will actually lie next to her and talk to her and watch over her until she closed her eye and gone to sleep. One morning, he woke up and discovered that the mother has passed away during the night. And he was very sad because he's not sure what the mother did or suffered before she passed away. Then suddenly he realized that he actually had CCTV set up in that room. So he checked the footage. And in the grainy black and white footage that he has recorded, he discovered his mother's last act that literally blown him away. What he saw is that the mother that night saw that he was uncovered and without a blanket. The mother was actually using the last remaining bit of strength that she has and pulled the blanket over the man and tucked him in. Just like what she did numerous times over his life when he was a boy. And then the mother had another look at him and then closed her eyes for the last time. Can you compete with that sort of love? You can't. And Paul understood that. So Paul said to the Thessalonians believers, "We were gentle among you, just like a nursing mother cherishes her own children." Verse 8 and verse 9. "So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God." So Paul reminded them that how affectionately he loved them and he longed for them. And he was among them, not just telling them the words of the gospel, but he was actually sharing his life with them. And they can see that. You know, there was a saying that say, "People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care." So Paul was basically showing them, you know how much we care for you. The message that we preach, we want you to have it. Because this same message affected our life, changed our life. And we want that same message to change your life too. And we share our life with you so that you can see what that life is like. A life that is committed to the gospel. And then Paul telling them that we actually like laborer. We are laboring day and night for you. Why does Paul and his companion need to do that? They, in fact, have the right to demand food and lodging from the people who are receiving their help. Even in the Old Testament, there are rules about, like, if an ox is helping you to farm the land, you do not cover his mouth, so that he can also, the animal can also take from the field when he is hungry. And Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says, whoever goes to war at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of his fruit, or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock. Then he also said that even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. So as an apostle of God, Paul could in fact demand food and lodging from the people, from the Thessalonians that he was preaching the gospel to. But he does not want that to become a hindrance to them coming to God and to believe in the gospel. So they work day and night. So at daytime they go to work. Paul himself was a tent maker. Then he could make tents and get some money. And nighttime he spent time with the believers and preaching to them, helping them, encouraging them. So Paul said that we are like laborers. We are working day and night for you. We do not want to take any money from you. We do not want to be a financial burden to any of you, so that you will understand that what we share with you is the pure word of God. It's not staying with any thoughts about getting anything in return from you. Lastly, in verse 10 and verse 12, Paul gave us another picture of the messenger of the gospel, which is the picture of a godly father. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 to verse 12. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behave ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you will walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So here Paul reminded the Thessalonians how they are witnesses of how Paul and his companions behave among them. Paul could boldly appeal to them and say, look at our life. Look at our life. How devoutly, how justly, and how blamelessly we live. Now this is bold. Most of us look at our own life and say, ooh, so many imperfections. We say to people, oh, nothing to look here, nothing there. But Paul says, look at us. We behave devoutly, justly, and also blamelessly. Devoutly towards God, justly towards his fellow laborers and listeners, and blameless to themselves because they knew that their life is without any issue for them, for the believers to pick on. Paul is confident of his testimony among the people. And then Paul said to them that I'm like a father as well, not just like a nursing mother, but also like a father, that I will charge. That I will exhort and comfort and charge. I will exhort you. I will encourage you. I will spur you on. And when you go through troubles and disappointment, I will also comfort you. And I will also want to charge you with authority as a father to actually push forward to live a life worthy of the gospel. And that's what he will do, Paul said. That you should walk worthy of God, because he calls you into his kingdom and glory. Paul has no hesitation to recommend himself as an example to them, because he said also in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1, He said, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Paul had that confidence because he has a model, a perfect model to follow, that is Jesus Christ. Paul said, you follow that. You can't see Christ, but you can see me. You follow me, because I follow him. Paul has that confidence, because he is a true messengers of the gospel of Christ. Brothers and sisters, so in this passage, just 12 verses from verse 1 to verse 12, Paul showed the believers what are the qualities of a messenger of the gospel. He told them that their work will not be in vain, and they will continue to be bold to proclaim the message despite adverse situations. The messenger of the gospel, their motives are pure. They will not contain any deceit or uncleanness, or any thoughts of gaining anything, or gaining any money from them, from the people who listen to them. They have been tested by God. They have been committed that message of the gospel by God. They will only please, they only preach to please God, not pleasing men. They are even like a gentle mother taking care of her own children. They are like a laborer who works day and night to provide for the listeners. They are like a father who will compel, encourage, comfort, and charge any one of his of the believers who follow his words. He will charge them to live a life worthy of the gospel. Brothers and sisters, these are the qualities of the true messengers of God. I asked a question at the beginning of the message, say, why are some people have so much more capacity to serve God? And that's because they have a tremendous faith and belief in the gospel that they have received. How much do you believe in what you know as a believer? How much do you believe in that gospel message? If you truly believe, then you want to also embrace it in your own life, to live it out, just like what Paul and his companions did. And he could boldly ask the believers around them and say, think about it. You yourself know, you have seen, you have witnessed yourself. He has no fear. His life is like open book to all the believers around them. Brothers and sisters, let's strive for that. Let's ask God to give us strength to do that as well. Let's pray. Lord, we do know that we are unworthy, and yet you have given us the most precious things in the world, your gospel, that saves us, that gives so much hope to us. And as we live through this life, we experience different difficulties, different circumstances, different problems. We ourselves have different weaknesses that we've fallen into, but we know that if it is your will for us to believe, then it will not be in vain. Lord, may you give us hope, give us strength. I pray that, Lord, we will bring glory to you when we see you face to face. We pray in your most precious name.